Aren't we glad for that haven tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. And maybe you've had an exhausting week this week. And not just the tiredness that goes along with working hard, but just the battles, the struggles that you've been up against. You've come to the right place tonight because this is where the presence of the Lord is. And where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's a refreshment. There's a help. There's a strength that comes from being in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, this week has been just maybe a little different than normal. And every evangelist has a great desire to see visible results and by that, measurable things, you know, how many souls got saved or how many backsliders came back or how many received the Holy Ghost or, you know, other things like that. But we are also aware of the fact that there are unmeasurable results, that things happen in the heart of men and women and young people that only God knows. And for those things, we'll wait till eternity to see how it all pans out and know that that God is in control. The Apostle Paul said, one man sows, another man waters, but it's God that gives the increase. And it's God that gets the praise. So for everything, we give Him the praise tonight. Hallelujah. I know from talking to Brother Jarvis that you are capable of and have experienced extended revival. Was it just last year you had the 6-7 week revival, and you've seen mighty moves of God? You know what that's like, and we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And we're holding on for that. But I'll tell you what, I was praying all afternoon that something would happen in this service tonight, that somebody would run to this altar just under conviction, or somebody would jump up and take off shouting and praising the Lord, or somebody would have a fiery testimony that they just couldn't hold back, or a message in tongues, an interpretation of tongues. I believe in that, don't you? Amen. Anything so that I wouldn't have to preach tonight. Not just to get out of the preaching, but just so we could have something that would be above and beyond the normal. Amen. But God is chosen by the foolishness of preaching. And so let's just do what the Lord tells us to do. Let's stand together tonight. We're going to read from the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, if you want to help me tonight. We'll read one scripture here. Verse number 9, so you won't be left standing long here. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. How about reading out loud with me tonight this one scripture and let it sort of soak in? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's read it one more time out loud. Can I hear everybody? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray that the Lord will help us tonight. Lord, we thank You for the privilege to be in Your house tonight. And Lord, we know that You are capable of doing great and mighty things. And we, Lord, entrust this service unto You, knowing, O Lord, that Your eye is upon us, that Your ears are open to our cry. You know the needs of this people tonight, Lord. I pray that You would examine every heart and that You would speak to us, challenge us, help us and encourage us tonight. Lord, lead us and guide us and direct us for Your glory. And we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen. Don't sit down just yet. I want you to do this. The title of my message tonight is Don't Faint, Saint. I want you to turn and say that to somebody nearby. Just say, Don't Faint, Saint. Amen. All right, that's a good encouragement. Amen. Amen. You may be seated now. Praise God. Don't faint, saint. The scripture here in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Galatia, he tells us, amen, that we shall reap if we faint not. And we believe that this is an exhortation to the church, to the believer, to the Christians. And so that's where I come up with the phrase, don't faint, saint. Amen. He's talking to the saints of God. He's talking to us tonight. I believe that by the power of the Spirit, the Apostle Paul sees the church all through the ages. And if he doesn't see it in that respect, the Spirit of God through him sees it. And the Holy Ghost said to him and to the church at Galatia and says to us and the church at London, Kentucky, don't faint. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing, he said, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I think I told you at some point in this revival one night, I mentioned to you that years ago, as LaDonna and I set out to evangelize and hold revivals, that we had been praying and asking the Lord what direction our ministry should go. And we felt like, and I felt especially, that the Lord had led me to a scripture in the book of Revelation and a message to the church. And it just popped off the page to me, like the Holy Ghost was saying to me, strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen the things that remain. I preach a lot to the church. I know that we're living in a day where people desperately need to be saved. And on occasion, we're privileged to see some get saved. Amen. I thank God for that. But I have a heart to help the church. I have a desire, amen, to strengthen those struggling saints all across the land. It's not that I believe that every church is just barely hanging on. It's not that I, in my evaluation, think that everybody is about to give up. But I have seen enough and heard enough to know that there are a multitude of people, amen, that if they have not already fallen out, are so close to it that there's something inside of me that wants to try to pull them back in before it's eternally too late. Amen, to fan the smoldering coal, to somehow strengthen the things that remain. And so with the Lord's help tonight, I just want to preach to you, don't faint, saint. Amen. This is not a time for you to give up. This is not a time for you to get out. Amen. You cannot afford to faint in this hour in which we live. Praise God. Let's talk about fainting for a moment tonight before we get going, just to sort of lay the foundation here. According to a medical website that I went to, fainting, or syncope, or syncope, however you pronounce that, S-Y-N-C-O-P-E, is a brief loss of consciousness resulting from a temporary decrease in the flow of blood in the brain. It can result, according to this article, from emotional shock, severe pain, a rapid change in the body's position, or certain drugs. Sometimes, immediately before fainting, a person becomes pale and begins to perspire and may feel lightheaded. Frequent fainting can be a sign of deeper problems, a cardiovascular disease, or disturbance in the organs of balance. Amen. I didn't come to give you a medical report tonight, but just to help us to get an understanding of what fainting is in the flesh, and then to transpose that to the world of the spirit, or the realm of the spirit, we might better understand what is meant by the multiple scriptures that tell us that we need to guard against spiritual fainting. The Apostle Paul here says, amen, we can become weary in well-doing. He tells us and warns us not to be weary in well-doing. So it is at least a possibility, isn't it, that in our well-doing we can become tired and run down and weary, even to the point of fainting. But the Apostle tells us, amen, to do everything that we can to keep from fainting. Because a reward is coming. A harvest is coming. We will reap if we faint not. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe that fainting then is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for giving up or backsliding. It's a metaphor for, amen, falling away from spiritual things. Amen. Brother and sister, please hear me tonight. We are under a great attack from the enemy. Thus we see the waves of discouragement that are rolling over the churches. Amen. And we hear the constant reports of the discouraged among us. I even gave a request this week for a preacher friend of ours that we recently found out is so discouraged to the point, amen, that he has given up on his calling, amen, given up on his work for the Lord. And that's just one of many. Preachers, Sunday school teachers, singers, gospel workers are feeling the weight of the world upon them in these last days. And so I would like to appeal to you tonight. Friends, stay on your feet. Stay in the battle. Stay awake. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't go back. Don't faint. Amen. God wants to revive you. He wants to help you. Revival is not just about the numbers. It's not about the size of the crowd. We all want to see that, as I've already said in this service. But revival is about you and your relationship with God. And it's necessary that we have those times of refreshing from the Lord so that we might be able to continue on in our work for Him, lest we fall by the wayside also. Amen. Don't faint, saint. Fainting, you know, can be a lot of things. At the very least, fainting can be embarrassing. Has anybody here ever fainted before? Raise your hand if you've ever fainted. Well, several hands going up all across here. Men even, as well as the women. And so, as we've said, there may have been a variety of things that contributed to your fainting spell. Maybe you were overly tired. Maybe you hadn't ate well that day. Maybe there's something going on in your body that led to it. You know, a variety of things. But wherever you were when you fainted, you might have came out of it feeling a little bit embarrassed, especially if they had to pick you up off the floor or something like that. Amen. But I can't think of any story more embarrassing than the story that I heard of a friend of mine. Probably you all know him. Brother Philip Sanders, well, his son got married a few years ago out in Oklahoma, Jared Sanders. And Jared and Israel, if you know them, they are, you know, they're outdoorsman type. They're hunters and fishermen and hard workers, construction workers. So we're not talking, you know, some wimpy thing here. But it did really surprise me. After the wedding, Brother Philip Sanders called me. I asked him how the wedding went, and he said, "Mike, you will not believe what happened in the wedding tonight." I said, "What?" He said, "We had somebody faint right in the middle of the wedding ceremony." I said, "Oh, yeah, one of the bridesmaids?" "No." "The bride?" "No." "Jared, the groom, fainted in the wedding ceremony." I said, "You've got to be kidding." He said, "Nope. Right up there on a platform, boom, Jared fainted plumb out." He said, "But Mike, not only once, not just twice, but three times Jared fainted during his own wedding ceremony." Oh, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. Philip said at one point he's laying there on the floor and coming up out of his fainting spell, and he just looked up and said to his bride standing there over him, "Oh, baby, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." They had to get him up and put him in a chair to finish the wedding ceremony. He finished the wedding ceremony sitting down in a chair. Now, friends, that's embarrassing. Oh, my. But, you know, that's what happens when you temporarily lose consciousness and you lose control. You know, you don't know exactly where you're going to end up, how you're going to fall. You cannot afford to lose control spiritually. You can't leave it to chance. You can't let go. You don't know where you'll fall and where you'll end up. Amen. Let me tell you another story about fainting. There was a lady one day. She was out cleaning in the living room, and she just happened to notice that a snake had crawled in under the door and was crawling across her living room floor. And she saw it as it went up under the couch, and she screamed real loud. And her husband came running out to see what was going on. And she said, a snake went under the couch. So he run and grabbed something out of the kitchen, a broom or something, a mop. And he's poking under the couch trying to get that snake to come out, you know. And he's feeling for it, and he's really, you know, paying attention there. He didn't see that the family dog, the little poodle, came up behind him. And there he was standing in his bare feet, and that poodle put his cold, wet nose on the heel of that man standing there. And he thought it was that snake, and boom, he just fainted right out. Well, his wife thought that in the excitement of all of that, that he'd got so worked up over the snake that he had a heart attack. So she called 911. And they were just down a little way, so it didn't take them long to get there. And they come running in, and they pick the guy up, and they put him on the stretcher. And they're carrying him out through the front door. And just as they start out the door, that snake comes out from under the couch. And the EMT, amen, this for you, Brother James. The EMT saw that snake, and it so startled him that he let go of the stretcher and dropped that guy and broke his leg. And it was all, the whole thing was just a misunderstanding, you know, with that dog and the fainting episode. So fainting can be embarrassing, can it? And it can cause injury. My daughter, on the other hand, several years ago when we were pastoring in West Plains, Missouri, we were having a Thanksgiving fellowship meeting. It was a big crowd. Big crowd that night. All of the area churches had gathered together, and we had a choir made up from all of the area churches, and they were up there singing that night, and Jessica was in the choir, and boy, it was a full house. You could just feel the oxygen being sucked out of the air. You know, it was hot, even though it was November, but we were having one of those holy roller meetings. I mean, the Spirit of God was moving, and we were having church. And I was standing off to the side there while the choir sang, and just happened to look up and saw my daughter, who was on the front row. Suddenly the color drained from her face, and I saw her eyes kind of roll back, and I thought, oh no, something's happening there. And I saw her begin to wilt, so I knew she was fainting. And so I started towards her, just fatherly instinct, you know. And so I started towards her. But I couldn't get there in time. And I saw as she fell, you know, no control. She's out, unconscious, just fainting. She falls forward, and she hit her forehead right on the corner of the organ. Whack. I mean, just on that point. And I thought, oh, man, she is seriously hurt. And so I run up there. You know, everybody else is having church, and a lot of them don't even see what has happened. And Sister Allen, Brother George Allen's wife, who was our evangelist that night, she saw what happened, and she ran up there too. And so the two of us fell down beside Jessica, and we were praying for her, and she began to revive. And I'm just expecting blood to be everywhere, and you know, an ugly scene. But after she kind of, we got her sat up. Did you know that there wasn't even so much as just maybe a little bump there? Didn't even break the skin or anything. It was, I feel like the Lord intervened in that situation. But to see her totally lose control and to think about the injury that could have been done makes me want to warn you tonight, friend, you cannot afford to faint. Spiritually speaking now, I'm talking about spiritually, you cannot afford to faint. You've got to revive yourself. You've got to pull out of this. You can't just let go and fall any which way. You can get seriously hurt. You can maybe even do permanent damage to some part of your soul or spirit. Friend, come on. You can come out of this. You can pull out of this. Amen. I'm here to try to tell you on this last night of revival, friends, don't faint. I don't want to look back. I don't want to hear some report of some terrible thing that has befallen you and how you got out of church and gave up on God. Your family suffered. You suffered as a result of it. You've got to hold on here. You cannot give up. Amen. Somebody say, don't faint, saint. Praise God. Hallelujah. In preparing this message, I had heard about a breed of sheep that are called fainting sheep or fainting goats. Anybody heard of them? Raise your hand if you have heard of them. Oh, a few of you have. I've actually met a man that raises or used to raise fainting goats. And I'm telling you, that's got to be one of the funniest creatures of God's creation ever. Amen. Just to think that there's a creature so timid, these goats, that if you spook them just a little bit, they just fall over, pass out, legs up in the air, just fainted. And, I got on the internet and I looked it up, and this guy was demonstrating, and he goes out into this herd of fainting sheep. One episode, he walks up to a single little goat, just, you know, cute little guy standing there minding his own business, and he just goes, boo! And that goat goes, falls over, and he's out, you know, just passes out. But I love the one where he goes out in this whole herd, and he's got this bright red umbrella, and he goes out into this herd of sheep, and all he does is take this red umbrella, and he flashes it up and down 3 or 4 times, and boom, 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 boom. The whole herd just falls out. They're just all passed out. And I thought, man, I would love to have a herd of goats like that. Except I would torment the poor creatures beyond their ability. But when I saw that, you know, I think of the many scriptures that tell us that we are sheep of God's pasture. But the question is, have we become a whole herd of fainting sheep? I mean, every time the devil comes by and says, boo, we fall out, we give up, we go home, we're through, we're done, we're out of here. I'm telling you, we've got to be stronger than that. We are not a herd of fainting sheep. Amen. God has given us strength. He's given us the tools. He's given us the power. He's given us the encouragement. He has given us the warnings, everything we need to overcome these so-called spiritual fainting spells. My friend, don't faint. You've got to hold on here. Now, come on, pull out of this in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Let me tell you something else about fainting in the Bible. Actually, I want to tell you that there's three different types of fainting according to the Bible. Just like many Greek words, there are multiple definitions, and that's what makes Greek so different from the English language. Many of you have done a study, say, on the word love, and in our language, in English, we use one word, love, and we use it for everything. In one sentence, we say, I love my wife. And then in the next sentence, we say, I love hot fudge sundaes. And, we sort of then have to, you know, apply the meaning of it. But in the Greek language, in Aramaic, we know that there are three words, filial love, which is family love, and there is sensual love. And then there's agape love, the love of God. Well, similarly, there's three words that are translated faint. And I think that they all bear some understanding tonight. There's one word, and I won't attempt to pronounce the Greek words for you tonight. But it simply means to lose strength. It's the most common of the words and best understood by us when we think of fainting, the loss of strength. And so the loss of muscular control and the loss of strength. Amen. It becoming overly tired. Amen. We might think that this is what Paul was thinking of here when he says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." But that's not the word he uses here. This word appears many places in the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation when he's talking about the church there not fainting. He is talking about them not losing strength. Amen. We need strength. I'm glad that we know where our strength comes from tonight. Praise God. God is our refuge and our strength. Amen. If you feel weakened, you need to go somewhere where you can recharge your batteries. Amen. Physically and spiritually. The church is that place where we recharge spiritually. This is not a time for you to quit going to church. I don't know why it is that when people get a little discouraged, they make that terrible decision to quit going to church. That's when we need the strength of God the most. Praise God. I know what it's like to be discouraged. I hate to admit to you the numbers of times that I've got so low. But a couple of years ago, I got really low. Probably the lowest I'd ever been. I got greatly discouraged and I was very weak. But I can tell you this, I did not quit going to church. Amen. There were times that I found it difficult. Amen. Hardly even to breathe a prayer. I was in a battle. I was in a struggle. I was going through it. But I did not quit going to church. And there were times we were at a church visiting, and after the service, the pastor of that church shook my hand as I was going out, and he didn't let go of my hand. You know, I started by, shook his hand, thanked him for the service, and I started, and he sort of pulled me back, and he said, "Brother, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that has befallen you, as if it's some strange thing." Amen. You know that scripture from 1 Peter. Praise God. And the word of the Lord somehow, amen, came through him to me to remind me I'm not the only one going through a trial. Praise God. Hallelujah. I look back now. That wasn't the thing that completely turned my situation around, but it was one of the things. It was some strength that came from God, a word of God that was spoken to me, the sermons that I heard, my pastor pleading for me and preaching to me and praying for me, whether he knew it or not. But I finally, amen, recovered my strength. And I'm glad to report to you tonight, you can recover your strength. But you've got to stay in that place where you can receive that strength. God didn't bring you this far to let you down. He didn't teach you to swim just to let you drown. He's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you through. But you've got to stay in that place where he gives you the strength. Amen. I'm in the process right now. I should say we're in the process of right now having our first book published. And of all the things that I've always wanted to have published, I never thought that the first thing we would have published would be a little children's story. But it's a little children's story based on a true life experience that I had with a butterfly. I'm not going to read or tell you the story tonight, but let me tell you the end result. The little butterfly, and I saw it happen, and I had read this fact about butterflies. And so in my little interaction with this butterfly, who I name Montgomery Monarch. Amen. He's a monarch butterfly, and his name is Montgomery, and we shorten it to Monty. And so little Monty is caught in the shadows, and he's in a dark enclosed place. And when I find him, he is just about at the point of death, just about, you know, exhausted. And in my imagination, I tell how it happened. But what I saw, I had heard that butterflies get their strength from the sun. And I realized that that butterfly was trapped in the shadows and needed to get sunlight. So I helped him. I got him out there and I put him in the yard in the full sun. And I watched as that little butterfly opened up his wings towards the sun. And then he closed them and flapped them back and forth. And you could almost see the revival happening right before your eyes. I saw it before my eyes as that little butterfly absorbed the strength of the sun. And then in a little bit, he flew off, flittering here and there and flying, amen, in such a beautiful display as only a butterfly can do. I tell you that little story tonight, interjected here in this message to tell you that we humans have that in common with butterflies. We need strength that comes from another source. We need strength that comes from outside of ourselves. And when we get in that weakened condition, we've got to find ourselves a place where we can lift our damaged wings to the sun, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. And from the Son of God, we absorb strength, praise God. And we can revive out of this fainting spell, and we can fly again by the help and grace of God. Somebody lift your hands and praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. The loss of strength is one word that's translated faint. There's another one that's translated a loss of courage. Amen. To lack courage, which we would say to be discouraged. That's to lose courage. This fainting is applied in many places throughout the Bible, but especially in the Old Testament, where we warriors are told not to faint. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. Do not faint. Amen. In other words, do not lose courage. A faint-hearted person is somebody that has lost courage. They've actually become a coward. They're faint-hearted. And so I tell you tonight, friend, do not lose courage. I know that we're in a great battle and we're seemingly surrounded by an enemy that is stronger than us. And we are outnumbered by the multiple millions in the world that do not believe like we believe or have the same hope that we hope. Amen. It looks like it's an unsurmountable task ahead of us. It's easy to lose courage, but God tells us, do not faint. Do not lose courage. Amen. We have a responsibility to revive ourselves, to have faith in God and to trust in God and to know the battle is not ours. The battle is His. We're going to wait on the Lord and He's going to give us the victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then there's a third word that is actually translated to the word faint, which means a loss of desire. Now, this word is especially interesting to me because it's drawn from a compound of Greek words that actually take their meaning from a bow hunter or a soldier, a marksman, an archman of ancient days. The image here is of a bow and an arrow and a string, and you got to imagine that piece of wood that we call the bow, amen, has a string fastened between its two extremes, and the tighter you wind that string, the more power there is to propel that arrow. And so it is the tightness of that string that actually is the energy that propels it. But the archer of those days would know that you cannot leave that string tight all the time because it would do damage to the integrity of the wood. So when you're not hunting or when you're not out at war, you loosen the string. And so that string on the bow becomes relaxed. And that word for relax is translated faint. Amen. Do not relax the bow. Do not faint. Do not become overly relaxed. In other words, to lose desire. Amen. To lose desire. Are you still with me tonight? I'm about to wrap this up here, but I want you to understand that fainting means several different things. For some of you tonight, you've lost strength. For some, you've lost courage. And for others, you've lost your desire. You need, amen, to take heed to that tonight. And it's interesting to know that the loss of desire here, called fainting, is actually the opposite of what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says when he says to gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up your mind. Tighten up the belt of your mind. Bring your thoughts into control. Don't let them just wander in every direction. Gird up. That's what it means. The opposite of that is to relax, to let up, to loosen up. Friend, we cannot afford to loosen up in this hour. We cannot relax to the point where we just let our thoughts meander all over the place, or we let our behavior just meander all over the place. You've got to tighten up here. You cannot afford to become faint in the respect that you've lost desire. And you know what? That's the word that Paul uses here when he says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we do not relax, if we do not let up." Amen. Praise God. If we do not lose our desire, we're going to get a reward after a while. There's going to be a harvest after a while. You're going to reap after a while if you do not lose your desire. Praise God. I know that you're tired. I know that you're weary. Amen. Sister Clarizel Cherry, in our church in Missouri, she would often testify and she would say, "Sometimes I get weary in the journey, but I don't want to ever get weary of the journey." Amen. There is a difference, you know. I said there's a difference. Amen. We all get a little tired, amen, in this journey. But to get tired of it is completely different. If you would have said to me on your way in tonight, when I asked you how you're doing, you say, "Well, I'm tired." We could easily identify with that. It's been a busy week. We know what it's like to feel tired. But if I would ask you how you're doing, and you said, "I'm tired of it." Ah. Now that's a little different definition, isn't it? Amen. And yet I've known a multitude of people in recent weeks and months who that pretty much defines their outlook on life. "I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it." My friend, you can't let yourself get in that frame of mind. Amen. That's why Paul said, we may be weary in well-doing, but you cannot let up to the point where you get tired of it. Bring those thoughts under control. Tighten up your thoughts a little bit. Do not let your faith just wander. Put that faith to work and know that your faith in God is going to bring you through this. Have you forgotten everything you've learned? Everything that you've studied? Everything that you memorized? Now that you're in the test, this is where you put what you learned, amen, to use. And know that God is going to be with you in the midst of your trial and your storm. Praise God. Hallelujah. Help is on the way. God's not going to leave us. He hasn't forsaken us. Amen. How do we keep from fainting then? Well, real quickly, let me give you a few hints. First of all, focus on the harvest. Focus on the harvest. He said you're going to reap after a while. Stay focused on that. Stay focused on the reward. Keep reminding yourself it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Amen. I'm going to reap a reward after a while. Praise God. I know that some criticize us because we believe in heaven. Amen. They say of us that we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. But I want to tell you, there's so many more that are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. Amen. Heaven is a real place. And I believe that there's much more to life than what we see here on planet Earth. If we can stay focused on that, friend, there's hope. There's a reason to keep trying. Amen. If we ever lose our desire for heaven or a desire to see a harvest. And by the way, that harvest may very well be your sons, your grandsons and daughters. You can't give up now. Praise God. Stay focused on the harvest. Amen. Praise God. You're going to reap if you faint not. Also, you can overcome by facing your fears. It's a natural instinct to run from the things that we fear the most. Amen. That's where that lack of courage comes in. The Bible tells us in so many places, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you. Paul says, don't look at what I'm going through and it discourage you and scare you. And you think that because I'm going through this, you may have to go through this. That'll make you faint. Don't concentrate on the bad. Concentrate on the positive. Face your fears. Don't run away from them. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take up the shield of faith. Get a hold of the sword of the Spirit. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And if you can't do anything else, just stand therefore. Amen. Stand therefore. But face your fears. Face your enemy. And know that God is on your side. Hallelujah. Praise God. And fight your battles. Fight those battles. And you got to stay in the war. Praise God. Amen. Only eternity is going to reveal who the real winners are. But I love the story, the stories, many of them that come out of the stories of war, the courage. Amen. The strategies of the battles that have taken place. When Napoleon was trying to conquer Europe, amen, there was one strategic battle. It was a very important battle. They could not afford to lose this piece of ground. Amen. The general saw Napoleon's army approaching and sent a word to the farthest outpost and said, stand your post. Whatever you do, do not leave this post. Amen. When the messenger brought the word, the captain read it and wrote another note on there and went back and said, ask the general if supplies are coming or reinforcements are coming. The runner took the message and in a little while came back and said, no, do not expect reinforcements, but you cannot afford to lose this post. When the smoke of the battle cleared, amen, there was not one man in that company that had survived the battle. But guess what? That one battle turned the whole tide of the war. They were able to stop the progress of Napoleon's advance. Amen. You might say, well, they all lost. No, they didn't. Amen. They realized that this world is a temporal place. Amen. That there are other things at stake. My family's at stake. My nation is at stake. Everything I believe in is at stake. And I'm going to stand and oppose that enemy. And I'm going to stand my ground at all cost. Don't you think we need to get a hold of some of that? Amen. Why are we a bunch of fainting sheep? It's time to stand our post and stand our ground. It doesn't matter if reinforcements are coming or not. This is important. And what you do here in London, Kentucky, it matters. It matters. What you're doing in the Christian school, it matters. Amen. Everything that happens on a Sunday morning, it's important. You're standing the ground. You're fighting your battle. You're standing against an enemy. This may be some little outpost by somebody else's standards. But when the smoke of the battle is cleared, what will be the testimony? We didn't quit. We didn't give up. We didn't faint. We stayed in the war. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you, if I saw that Brother Jarvis, like my daughter, suddenly lost the color in his face and his eyes rolled back. Stand up, Brother Jarvis, and if you would, come over here just a second. Let's say he was standing there and he's helping me preach and helping me preach. And he gets tired and weary, and I just happen to look over, and his eyes roll back in his head, and I can tell, uh-oh, he's about to faint. Amen. I have a responsibility here. Did you know that? In fact, in the little course that I took at the Red Cross on first aid and stuff, they said that if you see somebody that's about to faint, first thing is to secure them and keep them, you know, get them to sit down or at least lay them down. Don't just let them fall. They're going to bust their head on something. So, hey man, it's my responsibility to get behind my brother and help him when he's about to faint, to keep him from falling. Hallelujah. I want to recommend you get behind your pastor. I'm not saying he's about to faint, but I'm saying that even preachers need support and encouragement and help. Amen. Stand right there. All right. Okay, so we got you seated or got you stabilized just a little bit. And I determined that maybe it's a lack of oxygen. So maybe needs a little air. So let's get him some air. Let's fan him a little bit, all right? Praise God. Hot in here. Let's get him some air. How's that feel, brother?
Wonderful.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't you think we ought to help one another?
Yeah.
Amen. Let me use a more practical illustration. That's what we're doing when we come to the house of God. We're taking the word of God and we're fanning, amen, the fainting saints and telling you according to the word of God, praise God, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to survive. Praise the Lord. You know what, friends? Sometimes we come to the house of God, we just need to get a good breath of the Holy Ghost. That'll give us a strength. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Sister Jarvis, if you will, please come to the piano. Lift your hands towards heaven right now, church. Lift your hands up and let's praise the Lord. Amen. You might be my little butterfly in the shadows. Why don't you stretch your hands out towards the sun and absorb some strength from heaven tonight? You may say in protest, but Brother Mike, I'm too weak. I can't do it. I don't feel much like it. Reach for him. With your hands outstretched, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Praise God. Let him pour strength into you. Absorb his strength tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're here to help us, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let me read this scripture for the young people tonight. You know, sometimes we older folks, you know, we think that we're the only ones suffering. We've been in this battle for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. We're getting tired. It's tired. People ought to just understand if we faint, we just don't feel good. We've been to the funeral home too many times. We've got our ear full of so much bad news, we just can't take it anymore. Go ahead and lay out all your excuses, but let me tell you, you're not the only one. And it's not just old people that faint. This is familiar scripture, but I want to read it for you young people tonight. And I point over this way because there's a higher concentration. But all of you young people out there, Isaiah chapter 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Aren't you glad God never faints? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Now listen to this. Listen. Even the youths shall faint. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. It happens. And God's aware that young men, young women get weary and faint and fall. But the Bible goes on. One more time. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise God. How many times have we sung that song? How often have we quoted that scripture? But do you feel the power of those words that when we're at our weakest moment, amen, if we wait on the Lord, He gives us strength to fly again, to run again, to walk again and not faint. Come and wait on the Lord tonight. Young person, don't make the mistake of going somewhere else for your help and strength. It's not going to come. It's not going to come. Amen. From worldly sources. It's going to come from the Word of God and His presence. Come on this Friday night. I'm glad you came to church, all of you. But on this last night of revival, come. Let your soul be revived. Talk to the Lord about your problems. Pour it out to Him. Come, all of you faint-hearted. All of you who are weak. All of you who are near to fainting. Come and find your help in the presence of the Lord.